Commerce will come to order at 3:18 on February 17th. With us today, we have Representative Chenault, Representative Thompson, Representative Miller, myself, Chair Olson. I believe we have one more in transit. I see half of her office here. We do have a quorum to conduct business. I request that you turn off your BlackBerries and cell phones. We have two bills on the calendar for today, the first being the continuation of House Bill 266, Practice of Naturopathy. And I'm not psychic today, but I'm guessing that Chris is going to be carrying the bill today. Chris Clark, please join us. What I'd like you to do, we heard the bill previously and had extremely limited public testimony, but if Chris could state his name and affiliation for the record and give us just a brief summary of it, then we'll go straight into tomorrow public testimony. It's not my intention to move the bill today. We have ongoing dialogue between the stakeholders, and we're still waiting for some information from the FDA. So basically, we're going to probably try to get through about an hour of public testimony and then roll on to the other bill. But welcome back, Chris, and please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Christopher Clark, Chief of Staff of Representative Kathy Munoz. In short, House Bill 266 in its original form is intended to, if you will, graft from current regulations on naturopaths into statute to make it clear that there is legislative intent behind that language. In a nutshell, we are working with the various groups on trying something that will address the concerns of doctors, especially in regards to the matter of prescription drugs, while at the same time preserving what naturopaths currently may prescribe and do in their practice. So those conversations and various iterations of drafts and so forth are all ongoing. I'll spare you the details of that so you may have time to either ask questions or to hear from the public.
Anybody have any carryover questions for Chris from the last meeting? I'd like the record to reflect that we've finally been joined by Representative Lindsay Holmes. And that's 20 minutes after 3, so within 2 minutes, you were pretty close. So I think we have everybody that's coming. I think we'll start in the room with, we're going to continue public testimony. We'll start with, let's see, how about Ward Hurlburt? Am I close? Welcome, and thank you for joining us today, and please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Ward Hurlburt. I'm the Director of the Division of Public Health and Chief Medical Officer of the Department of Health and Social Services. Appreciate the opportunity to testify. I would say I had a nice opportunity to talk with Dr. Jasper, who has testified here, and he was very gracious in explaining more about the bill and the intent, and with a staff member of the sponsors in each of the two houses to learn about it. And as I understand, the intent is not to expand or change the scope of the practice of naturopathic doctors, but to clarify the practice that's there. And I do understand that is the intent. I've learned some things that we all learn in our professions. We learn the language of our professions. And one of the things I learned, whereas in my training as an allopathic physician, that, for example, medicines and drugs, I kind of meant to be the same thing in my mind, but I understand that in the naturopathic profession, that medicines refers to more naturally occurring substances, whereas drugs are more apt to be those that are synthesized. And I think it may be that some of the differences of opinion regarding the bill may be definitional, may be semantic, where different people look at definitions in a different way. I have been concerned that the bill, as it was written, would expand the scope of practice of naturopathic doctors to allow the writing of prescriptions. Although it was limited to natural substances, about 25 to 50% of medications, which are normally provided through a prescription, are derived from natural substances, from plants, from fungus, and from so on. And various examples have been given in the other testimony regarding that. But pharmaceutical companies still continue to put a lot of money into looking into plants and molds and funguses and so on in seeking new drugs to treat cancer, to treat various types of disease. And so because a pharmaceutical comes from a natural substance, they're still commonly used ones, which can be have beneficial effects, but also can have risky effects. The things that we do can have the risky effects there. I've also have some concern in my role as chief medical officer that expansion of prescription writing for items which historically have been available over the counter can be an issue that will increase costs for payers. For example, if you go to your provider and they recommend ibuprofen and what's known as Motrin or Advil, that you go to Walmart or Safeway or whatever pharmacy you go to and get the 200 milligram pills, they're over the counter, they will normally not be covered by payers. Sometimes they will on Medicaid for over-the-counter substances, but generally not covered, whereas if you receive a pharmaceutical strength such as 800 milligrams, they will normally be covered. Generally, prescription drugs are covered. Over-the-counter tend not to be. One of the examples that Dr. Jasper shared with me was capsicum, which is a tincture of the seeds from the cayenne pepper. That's a natural substance that has certain effects on the body that are beneficial. If you have a cold, for example, and you're stuffed up and your nose is stuffed up, and I don't at all pose to be an expert in naturopathic medicine, but Dr. Jasper shared that with me. And one of the problems that I understand the naturopathic doctors have run into, where that's something that has been available, has become less available because a prescription was being required. Now, I don't know that it's the whole story, but the pharmacy director in the healthcare services portion of our department for the Medicaid program did identify that the manufacturer of the capsicum, the tincture product there, on their initiative did label their application that it be available on a prescription-only basis, and it wasn't an FDA determination, but that was done by the manufacturer. So it's another area where I think there may be some lack of clarity there. Certainly the intent to clarify practice, to not change what has been happening since back in the mid-80s in this state, which I believe is the intent, I would see no problem with the initial language. My sense in reading it was that there was both an expansion of practice and a way that would increase the costs of health care that are a concern that I have. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
So before we get to any questions, I would like to acknowledge that Representative Kathy Munoz has been in the room pretty much for the entire meeting, and I would certainly offer her a space at the table. We have lots of room, and be sure. Any questions? Well, thanks again. You filled in one of the pieces that we were missing, and there's actually two of them, and it was helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Kristen Cox. You look familiar, so I'm thinking welcome back.
I've been around.
Yeah. Please state your name and affiliation.
My name is Kristen Cox. I'm a naturopathic doctor. I've been practicing in Juneau for 10 years. Thank you for hearing my testimony. I don't enjoy doing this, but I'm going to try to remain calm. So I came to Juneau in 1995. I spent 2 years here as an AmeriCorps volunteer. I went away to naturopathic medical school, and I came back here to make Juneau my home. I did spend 1 year in Fairbanks doing a residency at the Holistic Medical Clinic. So I have practiced safely under the current statutes and regulations as they're written and as we are trying to adopt. for the past 10 years. I have provided safe and effective and affordable care to 564 patients in the Juneau community. Carry on with what Dr. Hurlburt was suggesting, I think a lot of the problem here is language and definition.
I think we're all in agreement with that, believe me.
Yes. It's nice, I've been listening to the testimony of the medical doctors, and it's nice to hear them acknowledging that most of their medicine has origins in natural and botanical medicine. I think we all know that. But just because the only medicines that the medical doctors are familiar with are also drugs, does that mean that the only medicine is drug medicine? Naturopathic doctors are experts in non-drug medicine, including botanical extracts and other medicines derived from other natural substances. That's our profession. That's what we learn. Because medicine, natural or drug, can be toxic and dangerous, is not enough to argue that naturopathic doctors should not be able to utilize those medicines. We are extensively trained, and we are the only practitioners who are adequately trained and skilled to use a lot of these medicines, these herbal and botanical preparations. Medical doctors don't use our botanical preparations, and we don't want to use their synthetic drugs. Of course, the problem is the in-between area where non-drug therapies also require prescriptions for whatever arbitrary reason. That is the problem that we're having here. As you know, this bill will not expand the naturopathic scope of practice. The language is the same as it's been for 18 years. We have not seen all of the prescription writing that is being claimed could be a problem from adopting this regulation. I would like to point out that just this week there was an article in the Washington Post describing that by 2015 there's going to be an estimated shortage of general practitioners by 30,000. 30,000 shortage of general practitioners. That's a serious problem. This shortage exists because general practitioners in general, on average, make half of what medical specialists make, such as cardiologists. So it's hard to get doctors to go into general medicine. Naturopathic doctors willingly go into general medicine. We are general practitioners, and we are proud to be that, and we aren't trying to be anything else. We do that knowing full well that we're never going to make the kind of money that MDs make, specialists or generalists or otherwise. We are still providing valuable services to the people in our communities, to people who want alternatives to conventional medicine, and to people who have no other access to health care, people who frankly cannot afford to go to a doctor. They come to us, and we are in a unique position to triage those patients as well as patients who have probably irrational fears of the conventional medical system. We get those patients to care that they need because they trust us. They trust that when we say, you need to go see a medical doctor, you need to go to the emergency room, you need to go get blood pressure medication, or you need to stay on your medication, you need to take all your antibiotics, all of that stuff, they trust it when we tell them that. Needless to say, it's frustrating to me to be up here fighting to preserve my already limited scope of practice. Passing this bill will help ensure continued access to healthcare options for patients, which increase patient wellness, focus on prevention. I guarantee you, increasing access to naturopathic healthcare will decrease healthcare costs. And also free up time of the very busy medical doctors to see their more seriously ill patients. Finally, I would like to add, in case anybody is interested, Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Bill Ray Center, they're having a free presentation about careers in Alaska's healthcare industry, where you will learn about the demand for trained healthcare workers in the state of Alaska. And that is all. thank you for hearing my testimony.
We take a few questions.
Any? I'd be happy to answer questions.
Am I first?
Yeah.
Can you give us an idea on what type of drugs you either prescribe or provide to patients?
Well,
we know Caspium is one, but
yes, this is, I think, hard to answer because I think we're talking about a essentially small number of things, and I personally, my practice hasn't been terribly affected by this, but it's the threat that our scope is being decreased. And what's also interesting is that the legend that gets put on these things is somewhat arbitrary. The professional product manufacturers can put a legend on their product when they want to market the product to professional people, doctors. Mm-hmm. And basically what's this, the opposition, or if we lose the ability to prescribe our natural substances, then we're going to lose access to whatever those medicines are that the manufacturers have sort of decided they want only to be available by prescription only. So I don't have any particular things at the top of my mind, except it could mean almost anything that we could be denied access to. And I know that there's other practitioners in the state that are doing other sorts of therapies that this is affecting them more specifically.
Well, that's going to lead into a second question. I always thought it was the FDA that decided what was going to be prescriptive and what isn't. Now you're saying it's the manufacturers that?
I don't know. It seems to me that I don't know who decides what gets a legend and doesn't. I mean, I don't know why capsaicin has a legend on it. I don't know really who put it there. What I'm learning from this investigation is that it's somewhat arbitrarily done by manufacturers. You know, we do have professional product companies that we depend on for very high-quality products, and they are professional product companies. They do not sell over the counter, and they do not sell directly to patients. They sell only to practitioners. And whether you say you need a prescription for this product because you can only get it from a doctor, whether you can go to Ron's and get it from over the counter there because he can access those medicines because he's a professionally trained person. What needs a prescription and what doesn't, I don't know. But if you some things that we use need prescriptions from some places that we get them. I used to, Ron's Apothecary used to honor my prescriptions for natural substances, things that he would compound would need a prescription. And many years ago, he quit honoring those prescriptions. And so, does a compounded herbal preparation for, eczema need a prescription? Well, according to the compounding pharmacist, it does. I don't know why that is, and I certainly don't think that I should not have access to that simply because the statute says you may not write a prescription. That's, those are herbal compounded products, and to me it's arbitrary, and to say that you absolutely cannot write a prescription eliminates and potentially eliminates a gigantic scope of our practice.
Any further questions? Representative Holmes.
More of a comment than a question. I think we're all really struggling. I mean, I think you put it pretty well. It seems sort of arbitrary to you. A lot of us, I'm a lawyer. I don't have anything to do with the medical field. So I just want you to know, I think we're really struggling here to try to figure out what it is that naturopaths do and don't do, because clearly the definition we've got in law and the definition we've got in statute isn't working. It's clearly not working because you're being denied the ability to be able to provide certain things that you've always provided. So I think, just so you know, I think everyone around the table is really struggling to try to help figure out what the right words and definitions are, because they matter. And coming from a law standpoint, what I don't want to see us do is put something new into statute and then have somebody else come down later and say, well, that's not any clearer, and that doesn't help, and then we're back here next year. So I understand it's really frustrating. If somebody were coming after my livelihood, I would feel the same way. I just want you to know a lot of people are trying really hard to actually get it right and try to figure out what the right words are on the paper, what's in and what's out, so that we have a very clear dividing line of what's in and what's out, we get rid of all the ambiguity, and we can all move forward and put this whole thing behind us.
I really appreciate that, and I understand. And, I mean, we've known for decades that this is a antiquated, ambiguous, unclear law. We don't like it. And we've, you know, tried to get it modernized and get it, clear. Mm-hmm. And we haven't been successful. And so, you know, we hoped that by not putting anything new, mm-hmm. by adopting the exact same language as it's been for 18 years that we've all been practicing with this understanding, and we tried to come up with like the least oppositional thing that we could, and so it's frustrating also to now be trying to redefine everything mm-hmm. when we're trying to avoid redefining everything, because if we want to redefine everything, like, I'll just speak for myself that, you know, like, we could just start from scratch and do better, but that hasn't worked for us already. So I don't think we want to redefine everything. We were just trying to adopt it as it was, hoping that, you know, that would be the, you know, least problematic solution. But thank you, everybody, for your efforts and intent, you know, good intentions and the time that you're putting into this.
Mr. Speaker, nope.
I'm just deep in thought.
Looked like there was a question forming there.
I just can't start.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I'm going to direct this to both ends of the table. It would seem to me that we have a situation where we have doctors who have been practicing allopathic medicine for years. We have other doctors practicing naturopathic medicine for years. And then somewhere, it seems to me, suddenly, there's a new interpretation by a group that's not represented here at the table as yet. And I'm curious as to whether we're going to hear testimony from, I'm assuming, the folks in the pharmaceutical side of this, the people that supply you, or I should say, no longer supply you with certain substances. I think that their testimony is absolutely crucial.
I think I can answer part of that. We had hoped to have the FDA here today,
uh-huh.
which would have given us, would have answered half of the questions that we have.
And I'm out there. I'm assuming, since you said had hoped, as in the yes. past tense, that they
have
not
in the room, or nor are they on the telephone.
Thank you.
We tried. We'll be trying again. We will get them. But believe me, they will be involved at some point in time.
Okay. Thank
the
you.
The sooner the better.
Yes. Thank you.
Any further questions? Thanks again.
Thank you very much.
We have John Sherwood from the Department of Health and Social Services for questions. If we need John for questions, he's in the room. Looks like he got off late. Mary Arlene McKean, am I close?
Mary Alice McKean.
Mary Alice, my apologies.
Someone couldn't read my writing.
Hey, don't feel like the Lone Ranger, believe me.
Almost a doctor. Couldn't read her writing.
You could almost read the writing.
Just saying.
Please state your name and affiliation, and thank you for joining us today.
My name is Mary Alice McKean. I'm representing myself, and I wish I had a cuspuck because it's Friday, cuspuck day. I have lived in Alaska since 1978. I'm an attorney. I've been licensed to practice law since 1978. I currently work as an administrative judge for the federal government, but I'm testifying solely in my private capacity. And my husband and I own Rainbow Foods, which is the natural foods grocery store just a couple blocks from here. I am testifying today in support of HB 266. Do I have the number right? The statute you were all considering. I really urge you to adopt it, and I really want to thank you all for wrestling with this subject, because it is a problem, and you really need to solve it. And you're the only ones that can solve it. So, you know, this is in your hands. The legislature in 1986 made a policy decision to license naturopaths so people in Alaska could go and get care from naturopaths. And to receive a license to be a naturopath in the state of Alaska, you have to either have received a license in another state or you have to pass a naturopathic nationwide licensing examination. And I believe, but I'm not 100% sure of this, but I'm pretty sure that all the naturopaths here are licensed in another state. And to receive a naturopathic license and to go to naturopathic school, naturopaths must have, in school, 55 hours of training in pharmacology, 1,639 hours of training in basic clinical science, 132 hours of training in therapeutic nutrition, which, by the way, in medical schools is an elective, but in naturopathic schools it's a requirement, 132 hours. So the legislature realized that we are dealing with trained professionals, and they made the policy decision, your predecessors made the policy decision to allow that. And I think that's the really important context in which you're grappling with this issue. The division interpreted the regulation and adopted a statute saying what naturopaths could and couldn't do, because the legislature, when they passed the regulation, as you know, said that naturopaths couldn't use prescription drugs. And the naturopaths believed that prescription medicine was a different term from prescription drugs. And I'd say this is reflected clearly in the regulation, which defines prescription drug, and it says prescription drug does not include a device or herbal or homeopathic remedy in a form that is not a controlled substance. Now, double negatives are not great, but looking at that, I think it's saying that if the prescription drug is in a form that is a controlled substance, naturopaths can't use it. And controlled substance is a very clear thing. And the definition of controlled substance is referred to in the statute. It's a very clear term. There is lists that the FDA has as to what is a controlled substance and what is not. So I think the division's current interpretation, which I've heard mentioned in testimony, that naturopaths can prescribe or can recommend that their patients use things that are in natural substances is not a valid interpretation of the regulation. In other words, patients can grind up their own capsicum. They can, to use another example, butyric acid. That's found in butter. Maybe somehow they can try to produce their own. But if they want a prescription, if they want something standardized, then they can't get it. And that is not the distinction which the legislature and the department made in their definition of prescription drug. They said if it's a controlled substance, that's what the naturopaths can't do. So I don't think patients of naturopaths are limited to grinding their own medicine or that. I think they should be able to get things that are prescribed but are not a natural substance. I'd just like to make two more comments. Number one is about the cost. I don't really see how what you're considering would increase costs. It doesn't make manufacturers make things a prescription drug. I mean, some things are prescription medicine. Some things are and some things aren't. And this isn't going to increase the things that require a prescription. I just don't understand that. And also, naturopaths, their charges are substantially less than MDs. And then the final point I'm going to make on behalf of my husband, because he's not here, and he's the one who's in the natural foods grocery store Rainbow. He says he gets people all the time who ask him for medical advice, and he doesn't give it. But a lot of people, maybe not a lot of people, some people, for reasons that are maybe not good reasons, will not go to a conventional doctor, and they will go to naturopaths. And my husband sees them, and he fortunately can recommend that they go to naturopaths who have limited prescriptive authority and can help them. And as Dr. Cox said, can refer them sometimes to MDs if they need to go there. So my plea is for you to solve this problem and really implement the policy judgment which the legislature made in 1986 and which naturopaths have been operating under. Namely, they have limited prescriptive authority. If it's a natural substance and not a controlled substance, I believe they have been able to prescribe that until recently. So thank you very much.
Any questions? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much. It's marvelous to have a person of your stature and someone who is in the job of interpreting what we're about to do. So I'm going to ask you just a really, I hope, simple question, and I hope you can give us a pretty simple answer. Based on what you want, based on what's written in this bill, are we going to accomplish the clarification that you as a judge would have to look at in 2 or 3 years and say, yep, this is very clear, I know exactly what they meant, and the law says this, and it's easy to follow?
This is HB 266.
Yes, ma'am.
I believe that I'm not sure I have the amended. Has this been amended? Okay, I understand that there is an amendment being discussed.
No, this is the current
version. Okay, this is the current version. So the amendment is to put the wording and regulation into statute. And you're asking me if I had to interpret this, and would it be clear?
You as a I'm looking for your judgment right. As a judge, that at some point, you know, a case may come in front of you with this very set of questions.
Yeah.
And let's say you never read this before.
Okay.
Are we here looking at the right language?
Okay. I have to say, this bill would not come in front of me, just to make it clear.
I understand.
I do federal fisheries, so I probably wouldn't be.
So we got you. That's a
I'm not going to duck the question entirely, but I probably wouldn't be testifying if it was something. I wouldn't be testifying if it was something that really would actually come in front of me.
I understand.
So I think this regulation would improve the situation. And maybe that's not the question you're asking. You're asking me if a naturopath came to the division and the division said, you're prescribing butyric acid and you shouldn't be. Can you do it under this definition? I guess I'd have to say I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. And neither am I. so like you.
Okay. Well, let me just say, I think since this is the wording that's been in the regulation, well, I think it's reasonably clear. I don't know if it would mean there'd be no question, because it's almost impossible to pass something about which there'd be no question.
Grant.
So.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah.
So what we are hoping is that by simply moving the regulation into statute, we will help to clarify.
I think you would improve the situation materially, because what the division said at the House hearing I went to was that the statute trumps the regulation, which I don't really agree with. I think if you are a naturopath in a licensing context, you really have the right to rely on the regulation. So that confused me. But to the extent that the division is saying the problem is that the wording of the regulation conflicts with the statute, it would solve that problem. You would have the wording of the statute in the regulation. I don't think it would eliminate every single question of interpretation, but at least would make the regulation conform to the statute, which now it doesn't, and that's a very bad situation if that's what the department thinks, that its very own regulation doesn't conform to the statute.
Thank you for your opinion. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
How would you feel if, say, in a week or two when we have a final product, hopefully we do in a week or two, reading it? I mean, I personally find that I can write. I'm literate. I read more than I should. But I have a wife that can read it after I get done and find mistakes that I've made, if it's my writing, or where I haven't addressed something as clearly as I could have. How do you feel if we, without putting you on the hook, but just had another set of eyes to take a look at it when we get done with it?
I would be happy to look at it, and if there's another hearing, I could testify, or I could give someone my, you know, my opinion of it.
Yeah, we'll even make a promise. Now that we have your telephone number, we won't call you on fisheries.
that'll be the trade-off. This isn't salmon oil. I've been following this because I have a deep personal interest in it, and I've been, I've heard today, I haven't been involved with the discussions, but I've heard today that there have been discussions to have different language. So I would be happy to look at that, and if there's another hearing, testify about it, or maybe provide some input. So I appreciate that. Thank
and I would like to go on the record to say that I am not an expert in everything. I think people expect us to be. We're not. And the only thing that we can be good at is hopefully knowing where to go get answers when we need them. And I appreciate you helping us with that.
Yeah.
Although Representative Chenault is an expert on everything, I have to be nice to him.
You mean you're not perfect? I thought you were.
But thanks again.
You're welcome.
And you will be hearing from us, believe me. We've got the Division of Corporations here, but I don't think we're ready for Don yet. But if anybody has a question for Don, he's hiding in the back row in his usual seat. Is there anybody else in the room that would care to testify on the bill? And again, we're not closing out public testimony today, but we're going to get on to the people that have been very patient online. Is there anybody in the room that would care to weigh in? Please join us.
My name is Rebecca Vandewater. I'm a certified nurse midwife and advanced nurse practitioner here in the state. I'm also the midwifery director at the Juneau Family Health and Birth Center. I'm testifying not in a prepared way, although I've gone to many meetings on this issue. I'll say that I'm a client of naturopathic doctors, and I also refer to them very regularly. I hope that we can come to some verbiage here that will make it abundantly clear what naturopathic doctors can and cannot do, because I rely on them as a healthcare provider to fill in the gaps in my own care. I was trained at Yale University to prescribe medicine and in some cases to work with herbal homeopathic remedies, plant-based medicine. However, I will not work with things that I was not trained to use, and so the naturopathic doctors in our state fill in the gap for me. When I don't know, I'm not going to make use of a medicine, and I rely on them to be the experts. And so I hope that we can find a way to keep their scope as roomy and appropriate as possible. And I think I could have said many things that were already said, but that would just be redundant, so I won't add. I'll take any questions.
No, I'm just glad you were here and you were able to testify on short notice. I don't have any questions. Lindsay? No. Thanks again.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else? With that, we're going to start getting to the people that have been very patient outside of the building. We got a lot of them. I think we're going to start in Fairbanks. Dr. Ashley May, are you with us? Is Fairbanks with us?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Please say your name and affiliation, and thank you for joining us today.
Okay. My name is Ashley May. I'm a naturopathic doctor in Fairbanks. I'm representing myself. And I think this bill is critical for the stability of naturopathic medicine in Alaska. We're primary care providers that provide safe and effective care. And just as a new doc, I've been practicing here for 2.5 years. And as frustrating as it can be at times, because it is a limited scope state that came from Washington, where it was a much broader scope, I can still deal with it. But in recent months, with it being harder and harder to just get a hold of the things that were necessary to do what we've been doing, it's really frustrating. And so clarifying that, I think, would go a long way in also attracting other naturopathic doctors to this state to help with the deficiency of primary care providers that we have. And, you know, we have a great, safe track record that I think speaks volumes and goes a long way. So I'm just here lending my support for this.
Well, I think I'm going to ask you the same question that we've asked a number of the people. Can you give us any kind of an idea on what type of naturopathic medicine you prescribe or you issue to your patients? You know, Capsium so far has been about the only one that we've had put out.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of my stuff is I do mostly family practice, primary care, and you know, a lot of things are really simple. We're talking multivitamins, fish oil, vitamin D, I mean, things like that, the occasional, you know, natural adrenal gland extract or thyroid extract, things like that that are really safe and effective. And we're not talking about, you know, doing heavy narcotics or pain medications here. It's just really basic stuff that we've been highly trained in. Does that answer your question, or you need something more specific?
Oh, we're still trying to get a list, but somehow I'm getting the feeling.
Well, it's a long list. I mean, it can vary. Family practice is wide-scoped, and, you know, there's a wider range of things you could do based on the people that come in per day. So coming up with a list is going to be pretty extensive.
Any further questions for Dr. May? Thanks again for joining us today. How about Diane Cryer? Are you with us, Diane? Oh, she got off. Scott
I'm
Looper?
Here. Okay, I'm not here.
Okay. Oh, it's on. Yeah, you just have to speak
up
a little louder.
I'm here. Diane Cryer is here.
Oh, welcome to the committee, and please state your name and affiliation for the record.
My name is Cryer. I'm here representing myself as a patient of naturopathic medicine.
Well, thank you for joining us today, and please continue.
I'm just here recommending that you pass this bill. I think that it would help clarify the wording of the bill so that the naturopathic doctors can continue to do what they've been doing here in Alaska. They're filling a niche that some of us as patients have been needing, and to have them be limited more just adds to the frustration not only for the doctors but also for us as patients.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Are there any questions for Ms. Cryer? Thanks again. Scott Looper, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Please
my name is Scott. My name is Dr. Scott Looper. Thank you, Chairman. My name is Dr. Scott Looper. I'm here representing myself. I'm the Chief Medical Officer at the Alaska Center for Natural Medicine here in Fairbanks, and I've been practicing in Alaska since 2000. And I think I could shed some light on the situation because I had a patient come see me several months ago with ulcerative colitis, and there's a treatment that I use with great efficacy that I called to get because I've used it for years now. It's sodium butyrate. It's mentioned a couple of times in the earlier testimony. Anyways, the place I get it from is Key Pharmacy because that's where I've always got it from. They do a great job. They sell it concentrated with instructions on how to dilute it, and they also package it up with enema bottles and the applicators, and it's enough for a two-week application. The efficacy is fantastic. It's the best thing I've ever used, and it usually will stop the bleeding within a week, maybe 2 weeks, and overall the efficacy is about 90%. Anyways, I called Key Pharmacy to obtain it and was told that they wouldn't sell it to me. I asked why, and they said that they'd been contacted by the pharmacy board here in Alaska and told that they couldn't sell anything that required a prescription to any naturopathic doctors. So I investigated the situation further and was never really able to find out exactly why that happened. I did talk to the president of the Alaska Pharmacy. He did say he and his organization did contact pharmacies and tell them to quit selling stuff to us. Anyways, we considered the situation and decided the best way to clarify this was to simply take the one line from regulation that forms exceptions to things that we can prescribe and move that over into statute. I know it sounded kind of crazy because the weight of law with regulation is equal to that of statute, but there definitely was some confusion, and we thought this would clarify things. The other thing I want to add is that there are other substances I'm having greater difficulty getting. One of the things that I treat is cancer, and I work with the local oncologist in many cases and do treatments, IV treatments that help mitigate the effects of the chemotherapy that they're on and actually enhance the effects of the chemotherapy. One of those things is vitamin C. We do vitamin C in treating ovarian cancer, for example. It's an adjunct with the cisplatin. It's one of the chemotherapy agents that they use. Anyways, we're having a harder and harder time getting these IV nutrients like vitamin C and B12 and those kinds of things. We're really having to search around because many of the organizations, whether the companies that sell to us, have quit selling it to us. PSS, Apothecure, Key Pharmacy, again, is one of the places where we get things from, and they just won't sell it to us. So what we're hoping is that this bill, this HB 266, will clarify the situation and allow us to continue to practice the way we've been practicing safely. I mean, mind you, safely. There's been no problems in 18 years, none that I know of at least. So we can continue practicing safely and helping our patients. I do realize that we don't actually practice under current statute up to the level of our education. But the fact of the matter is we love, you know, Dr. Mann, myself, and the other doctors in Fairbanks love living here in Alaska. And we're willing to do what we can to help our patients. You know, it's kind of one hand tied behind our back, but we're still able to do stuff. Unless this law passes, we're going to have the other hand tied behind our back, or at least two or three fingers tied behind our back, really going to keep us from doing the things that we've done safely for 18 years here in Alaska, particularly with cancer patients, particularly with the IV nutrients, and again with the sodium butyrate. And again, the list goes on and on. There's all kinds of things that we could use. And the problem about coming up with a list, and you probably all know this already, is that medical science moves. It shifts. Things are invented. Things are new that come along. And if we come up with a list and nail it down, you know, it's going to be out of date before the ink is dry. So, anyways, I'm thank you for hearing my testimony, and I'm willing and open to take any questions you might have.
Any questions? Thanks again. I think we're going to roll over to Soldotna now. Dr. Bill Kelly, are you with us? Dr. Kelly?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm Bill Kelly. I'm an allopathic primary care physician in Soldotna. I've been here about 20 years. The testimony I've heard so far has been pretty instructional for me and helpful. I think, at least in my community, there's a lot of respect for allopathic physicians, or by allopathic physicians, for naturopathic physicians, and I clearly provide a important service for the reasons that have been just mentioned. And I would guess that if you sat down allopathic physicians and naturopathic physicians, there wouldn't be much of a disagreement on the list of medications that we should each sort of prescribe or be in charge of. My concern, and clearly I think, as has already been said, I would hope that this bill, as it goes forward, doesn't change the scope of a naturopathic physician practice. But my concern is the devil's in the details in terms of semantics, and I don't have a solution for that, but I'm worried about the fact that most allopathic medicines clearly have a natural, herbal, botanical source, at least historically. And to take this to a logical extreme, in terms of oncology, There are chemotherapeutic agents, Taxol being one of them, that's extracted from the bark of the western yew tree, that if you read this, the statute literally, that potentially would fall under the aegis of naturopathic physicians. And I realize that that may be a sort of a ludicrous scenario, but that's what I'm concerned about with the wordsmithing. And I suppose the FDA maybe needs to get involved in terms of helping out with that semantics, but I'm concerned that the way this is written now, that it will allow for a significant increase in the scope of practice. And I don't think that's their intent or your intent, but it worries me with the way that's written, and that's why I'm testifying, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Now, I'll give you an answer first, though, Bill. We're all on the same page, and that's why it's taken so long to work our way through this bill. Any questions for Dr. Kelly? Thanks again, Bill. Katie Sheridan, are you with us? Dr. Sheridan?
Hi, yes, she's here.
Oh, hi. Please state your name and affiliation for the record, and thank you for joining us and being patient.
Yes, hello. This is Dr. Katie Sheridan. I'm a family doctor in Soldotna now for 16 years. And I, too, really echo a lot of what Dr. Kelly just said, in that I have great respect for complementary medicine and certainly am open to my patients receiving whatever is best for them in any given illness or chronic disease state. But I am really concerned that this potentially opens the opportunity that with the wording we have right now in this bill that we could potentially have things use that, and I think most naturopaths probably wouldn't do that. But I know that even in allopathic medicine, we have people that sometimes try and practice outside their scope. And I think the whole reason we have rules and guidelines and bills detailing that is so that we can help avoid those outliers from doing something that might be harmful to the population. So I, too, think we need to make the wording clearer. There are a number of medications that are derived from natural meds or natural plants and natural states that are, in fact, incredibly potent medications, including digoxin, which is probably one of the most powerful cardiac medicines there is, but is yet from a plant. And so I think that we really need to reword things a little bit to help protect patients. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions for Dr. Kelly? Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And thank you, Dr. Kelly. I do appreciate your...
This is actually Dr. Sheridan.
I'm sorry, Dr. Sheridan. Excuse me. You're very hard to see from here. And if the other doctor who testified just in front of you, we would certainly be very grateful if you could suggest any language that might help this clarification, because I really get the feeling that everybody involved in this thing wants this to be clarified. So any suggestions you might be able to make for how we should have the wording in this proposed statute change would be much appreciated.
And if I could expand on that, if you're calling from the Kenai LIO, like I probably believe you are, unless you're on a phone line from work, Allison can help you with that too. And seeing no further questions, we're going to go to Anchorage and Jim Jordan. Jim or Marianne Fullen, both appear to be calling from the same number.
Yes, and Dr. Fullen is here, and with your indulgence, I would like to have her testify first, if that would be okay with you.
Yeah, it sure sounded like Jim, though.
it's Jim, but I'm sitting and looking at Dr. Fullen. We're at the same locale.
Yeah, we'd be pleased for Dr. Fullen.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Thanks for the opportunity to share some concerns we have about this bill. I'm Marianne Foland. I'm a family physician in Anchorage, and we first moved up here in 1977. I'm speaking as the president of the Alaska State Medical Association and the past president of the Alaska Academy of Family Physicians. primary concern of both of those groups is the health of all Alaskans. Please don't interpret the lack of multiple letters and calls from physicians and patients as disinterest in this bill. On the contrary, we've been following intently because this issue has the potential to have tremendous and irreversible impact on patient safety. We've been working with members of the Senate and the House without a lot of contention and acrimony, we hope, to help clarify the issue and come to an acceptable compromise. It is most certainly not an issue of turf protection or competition. As Dr. Kelly mentioned, we really don't want to change the scope. We want to clarify the scope of practice. In past years, for related bills, we have presented testimony and data to support the significant differences in training and supervised clinical experience between physicians and naturopaths. That's the basis of the concern we have about scope of practice. The stated goal of this bill seems so simple, to preserve the status quo. However, it's not as straightforward as it seems, and as previously testified, the devil is often in the details. And apparently, there were some details that the Division of Professional Licensing found concerning current prescriptive practices of some of the naturopaths across the state. There is no easy button here. The reality is that the language would actually expand prescriptive privileges beyond what's currently legal, and it would expand it to nebulous limits. The good news is that you have the opportunity to clarify and define those limits. The phrase, any natural substance, is vague. I've asked the PhD pharmacologists and registered pharmacists what that would include. They can't give me an answer. They say the list is far too expansive. It would include things that we've already heard about: hormones, birth control pills, insulin, warfarin or Coumadin, steroids, antibiotics, chemotherapy agents, biologics, morphine, countless other drugs. It would be helpful, but although difficult, to get an exclusive wish list of what the naturopaths want to prescribe. We could then evaluate research and look at those scientifically, or if there were some gray zones. Previously heard requested vitamin B12, vitamin C, saline, capsaicin in certain doses, and the general opinion of physicians that I've talked to is that those would be just fine. Medications listed by the FDA as prescription drugs, however, are defined by requiring a prescription by a licensed physician would not be okay. It has never been the intent of the State Medical Association or the Academy of Family Physicians to restrict or shut down practices of naturopaths. That is clearly not on our agenda. We just want to help clarify what's allowed and not allowed. It's important to know what substances can be used within the appropriate scope of practice, so that each of us isn't allowed to set our own speed limit, just like we can't do that on the highway. So I encourage you to consider this carefully and set appropriate speed limits. If I may answer a question that's been asked previously, it would be wonderful if we had an entity that didn't have conflict of interest to help us make a distinction between a listed prescription drug and a dietary supplement, an herbal supplement, and over-the-counter homeopathic supplements. The good news is we have that entity, and that's the FDA. They really have a distinction between a listed prescription drug that has to pass certain criteria for safety and efficacy and a dietary supplement that they also regulate at the FDA, but they only regulate those for manufacturing and marketing standards. So I think that helps us look in a direction to get some help clarifying this issue. Thank you.
Can we take a question?
Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is Representative Thompson. I just thought of a question that I don't know if you have the answer for. Naturopathic doctors have been prescribed medications, non-controlled substances, for 18 years. Out of curiosity, do you happen to know how many lawsuits might have been brought against naturopathic doctors for missed prescriptions? And also then medical doctors in the state, how many malpractices have been brought against him for prescription of drugs?
No, I don't know those numbers.
Okay.
Jim, you know him?
For the record, this is Jim Jordan. I'm the executive director for the State Medical Association. I don't know the numbers, but I can suggest that who you would contact for the complaints that involve the physicians, and that is the Alaska State Medical Board, because physicians are required to report any settlement involving an action that entails medical malpractice, regardless of the cause.
So we could get that without names. We could get it just based on numbers and years, or.
Well, I think that with the physician reporting, it's names are included as well.
I don't think we'd want.
The naturopaths, I don't think there's any reporting requirements, so I don't know where you would go to get those numbers. Unless you combed the lawsuits for the last however many years.
Well, thanks again. We've got time for one more question. We're going to keep.
I'm sorry. Jeremy. Please.
Yes?
We've got time for one more question at the table.
Okay.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dr. Poland, I thought somewhere in the midst of your testimony I did hear you allude to the fact that it might be convenient if we could actually just create a list. You know, here's a list of what naturopaths can should be allowed to prescribe, etc. And, of course, I've had some discussions with a few folks, and they say that would probably be difficult to put together. My question would be, let us say that we could create such a list. Is there an organization that is flexible enough to review new substances or even old substances as things may come on the market or go off the market or change or be reformulated, et cetera? Yeah, that could respond to, you know, updating such a list in a timely fashion, whether they're just looking at medicines for naturopaths or they're also looking at standard allopathic doctors?
I don't know how quickly they can review those. The FDA is the entity that's, you know, their purpose is to look at the drugs and evaluate new drugs, old drugs, and any changes in drugs that are taken off the market. Jim?
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks again. And again, we're not closing out public testimony, but we're going to take one more person online. And I've.
Mr. Chairman, this is Jim Jordan.
Are you excited to talk, Jim?
Well, no, I just wanted Dr. Fullman to have her opportunity, but I know that you're very time pressed. But because what I was going to testify on, I will send you some background information as to what the FDA's regulatory process is, and I was going to do that, and I can send that information along to because it's rather lengthy and it comes from the FDA website, but that was going to be the basis for what the recommendation I was going to make, and that is as a starting point in order to cut down the numbers, if you will, is to perhaps look at utilizing the definitions that are existing in the FDA laws. And I think, you know, there's definitions for the four basic categories that they regulate of drugs. They consider anything that's not a food that impacts the body a drug. And those four categories are prescription drugs or listed or legend drugs, over-the-counter drugs, homeopathic drugs, and dietary substances, which, by the way, by the FDA's definitions include herbal remedies, herbal supplements, vitamins, botanicals, etc. And I'm going to just suggest that without going into detail, but I think it's very important to have not only clear delineation. I think also that it will cut down. There is no single definitive list that the FDA has. For example, for the prescription drugs, they publish electronically a document that's commonly known as the Orange Book, and it's the official name is the Approved Drug Products with Therapeutic Equivalency Evaluation. The current edition is the 32nd edition. It's 1,298 pages long, and it's updated daily. But and that only includes the current prescription drugs that are being marketed. In order to get a definitive list, you'd have to go back and examine all of those past lists. But anyway, I think that's a pathway to look at. And in addition to that, I highly recommend, and I think part of the problem is that we have to have consistent definitions in different parts of government. And I think, you know, what HB 266 is dealing with is a good opportunity to do that, because there are definitions in the statutes dealing with pharmacies that I think should be also examined in the same light, so that there's no disconnect. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks again, Jim, and that's what we're trying to do, believe me.
Super. That, yeah, I know you are.
Good talking to you. With that, we're going to hold public testimony open, and we're going to, and the good news is by the next time that we continue the public testimony, we'll probably have a lot more to talk about.
Yeah, I think I have an answer to the question you asked.
Briefly.
Okay. It was Representative Thompson's question.
Please state your name and affiliation.
I'm Mary Alice McKean, representing myself, and the main insurance company for naturopaths is NCMIC, and in a letter from their litigation consultant, one of the naturopaths wrote, and they said that they have provided liability insurance for naturopathic doctors in Alaska since 2001. So, you know, not since they, and since that time, there's been one professional liability claim against one of our naturopathic insureds, but that case resulted in the plaintiff dismissing the insured from the lawsuit. So since 2001, there's been one claim, and it wound up being dismissed as having, you know, no validity. So,
could you pass that letter on to Representative Jackson, and we'll get it, or
you've been promoted without an election.
Jackson, we'll make it part of the official record. And thank you again. With that, we are going to take about a 1 second, actually about a 30-second at ease, and set up for the next bill. We're back on the record. The next item on the calendar today is House Bill 314. This is not as complex as the first bill. This full title, or the short title, is Alaska Railroad Land Leases, and presenting the bill today will be Anna Latham. From my office. Okay. Welcome, Anna. Please state your name and affiliation for the record.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Anna Latham. I'm staff to the chair, Representative Olson. Before you is House Bill 314, an act extending the time period for which the Alaska Railroad Corporation may lease land without reserving the right to terminate the lease and providing for an effective date. This bill extends the maximum Alaska Railroad property lease term from 55 to 95 years. Most of you are probably familiar with it, but here's a brief overview of the railroad. It's been state-owned since 1985, and it's incorporated and runs as if it's a private business. The corporation generates revenues through real estate holdings, year-round passenger service, and freight service. Historically, railroads have owned large portions of land, which they lease to generate revenue. As the railroad industry is cyclical, the revenue generated from property leases helps to carry railroads through economic downturns. The Alaska Railroad owns approximately 36,000 acres, 2,000 of which are currently leased. They currently have 260 long-term leases. Out of the 36,000 acres, 38% of the land is devoted to right-of-way, 12% is used for operations, and the remaining 50% is available for lease. As a state-owned entity, the Alaska Railroad Corporation is mandated to foster economic development in communities along the rail belt as well as statewide. An extension of lease terms for up to 95 years is in line with this directive. Longer leases encourage high-value building construction by assuring developers and financiers that the developments will retain their value for future buyers. Quality developments retain their value for a longer period of time and have a higher resale value, which is good for the railroad, good for the state, and for leaseholders. I want to note this doesn't mean the standard lease will be 95 years. It simply gives the Railroad Board of Directors the option of extending a lease for up to 95 years at their discretion. This bill has received widespread support. Included in your bill packet are letters of support from the cities of Valdez, Seward, and Whittier, as well as the municipality of Anchorage. So far, I haven't had any opposition to this bill. This concludes my testimony for House Bill 314. I'm available for questions, and I also have Andy Donovan, as well as John Cook from the Alaska Railroad on the line. Thank you.
Any questions for Anna before we go on to John Cook? Thank you again.
You're welcome.
I might add, the railroad touches everybody's district at the table except mine, but so I guess I'm unbiased. John Cook, are you with us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. And members of the committee, my name is John Cook. I am chair of the Real Estate Committee for the Alaska Railroad and also serve on the Board of Directors. The staff is traveling today. Andy Donovan will be here available for testimony as well. But I think the genesis behind the bill was explained fairly succinctly by Anna. I'll keep it short. This bill has been requested by existing tenants as well as developers who would be interested in developing projects on Alaska Railroad lease property if the 95-year lease term was available. It gives them a chance to remarket the properties, ensure that they and or subsequent owners can turn those over. And really what 95-year lease does is essentially makes it's a long enough term. It makes the land as close to fee simple as you can get. The other thing that's driving the request to increase the term to 95 years is that for very large projects, the underwriting standards to get money from the banks for loans have tightened up pretty dramatically since 2008. So, frankly, for large projects, 55 years just is not going to cut it. So we see this as being an a rarely used, I guess, lease at this point. We're going to devise some policies if this passes, but this will not be the norm for the Alaska Railroad. It'll be the exception, and it'll be used for either new large developments or existing, you know, businesses that are going to put a tremendous amount of capital into their property. So with that, I guess I'm available to answer any questions, and thank you for your support of this bill.
No, thank you. Any questions for Mr. Cook? Seeing none, is I guess we'll open up to public testimony. Is there anybody in the room that would care to testify on this bill? Seeing none, is there anybody online that would that is signed up to testify?
John, we got questions for
you. Oh, yeah, well, with that, we will close out public testimony and bring it back to the committee for discussion. Seeing none, what are the wishes of the committee?
Looking for a motion, Mr. Chairman?
You bet.
All right. I move House Bill 314-27-LS1281-A from committee with attached recommendations, with individual recommendations and attached zero fiscal notes.
Seeing no opposition, the bill will move on to the next committee, which is rules, I believe. And we are adjourned at